door for us to see what's actually underneath the surface. And that kind of left us with questions to what do we do now when we begin to realize, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's underneath the surface. How do we actually really be able to go deeper? I just want to let you know to be on the lookout, because we're going to be having these groups called encounter groups coming up in the future. Now, these groups are going to be very small in nature. It's going to be no less than 3 and no more than 7. The reason why we want to have this small group, because it requires a more intimate space to first learn about the intricate workings of the soul, but also it takes a community group in which there is authenticity and transparency. Now, in order for authenticity and transparency to happen, there has to be trust. And usually the smaller the group, the more comfortable we are to take that next step of transparency and authenticity. So be on the lookout for that, okay? And it's going to be a great opportunity for us to go deeper, really to go deeper to understand all the inner workings of the soul and what you and I can do in partnering with God in how to find freedom and breakthrough for it. So be on the lookout for that, okay? Let us open up in a word of prayer. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We give thanks to you because as the songs that we sang, that we could turn our eyes to you. When we turn our eyes to you, Lord, we recognize that there is hope, there is belonging, and there is profound love for us. And we want to give thanks to you and glory to you because you are good and faithful. We want to simply put ourselves in the posture of welcoming the Holy Spirit. And so we say, Holy Spirit, would you please come and meet with us this morning. Help us, Lord, to see you. Help us to encounter you so that our lives will be changed. Help us to see what you're doing and what you're inviting us to. God, I pray for myself. May I not simply be a speaker of your word, but a doer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if any of you have ever heard these phrases. Like, you know, I suffered a heartache. Right? Or even like, I have a broken heart. Or things just, these words and sayings, it's words that we use to describe like emotional pain that we feel. I wonder if we ever thought about it that maybe the emotional pain that we feel, we try to find words to describe it. And so we try to attach it to physical pain, right? When we feel rejected, we would say, oh, I feel like I've been pushed away, right? These are physical descriptions of what happens with the emotional. I don't know about you, but I've always been curious about that. Why do we have these descriptors of emotional pains as if we had physical pain? Did you know that there were people who were more smarter than I that actually thought up this question too and decided to do some research? There's a professor named Matthew Lieberman, and he is a researcher and a neuroscientist. And so he began to do this research of the correlation between emotional pain that we feel and physical pain that we feel. And so through his studies and tests, he begins to do a brain scan, and he sees that there is similar patterns in how our brain perceives physical pain and emotional pain. Okay, everybody with me? You know what that means? That basically means that when we feel rejected, it's almost the same pain that we feel as if we have a broken arm. That's how our brain reacts. That when we feel emotional pain and trauma, our brain has the same neural pathways and signals in which it perceives pain, just like physical pain. If that is true, then most of us know that when we experience physical pain, if we have a headache, what do? Right? We pop a pill. Right? If we have a broken bone, what do? We better go see the doctor and put a cast on it and everything, right? So when we feel physical pain, we react to it, and we try to relieve the pain and to resolve it. But what happens when we experience emotional pain? Most of us don't even know that we experience emotional pain, first of all, because we don't even have the descriptors of the language to even know what emotional pain feels like. But most of us, when we feel emotional pain, we just kind of say, oh, you know, I won't think about it, it'll go away. But in reality, when it comes to emotions, emotions don't go away. They remain there. And so when you and I experience emotional pain, like rejection, it doesn't go away. But yet, most of us do nothing about it when we experience the emotional pain of rejection and abandonment. If that is true, then most of us then have never really processed or found healing for our emotional pain of rejection and abandonment. Because our brain, the neurotransmitters, all that stuff that's going on in the brain, process these two pains, physical and emotional pain, as the same thing. But we do something when it comes to our physical pain, but we really don't have the ability or understanding to do anything when it comes to our emotional pain. When we think about rejection, it is probably one of the things that every single one of us has faced in our life. Right? Some of, like when you were kids in this playground and you wanted to play with your friends and they didn't want to play with you. We face rejection. When you try to apply for a college that you really want to get to and they sent you that big nice word in the nice way, but you've been rejected. Sorry, you don't get in. We've all faced rejections in different types. Or maybe it's a boy or girl that we like and they don't even pay attention to us. These are pains of rejection. Or maybe even at childhood, our parents weren't around. These are all pains of rejection that most of us do not even know what to do. And if emotional pain is processed by the brain in the same way as physical pain, what do we do when we have tasted the bitter sting of rejection and abandonment? We can simply try to push it away, but that doesn't resolve anything. Because there's one thing that I've learned about emotions is that emotions don't simply go away. You can suppress it, but it's not resolved. And eventually, it will all come spilling back up. And so what that tells us is then that if you and I have experienced these pains of rejection and abandonment, then we need to find healing. Because unless we find healing, then we kind of lost a part of our being and of ourselves. We feel lost. We feel uncertain, and we respond in so many different ways. Today, I'd like to focus on how you and I can overcome rejection and abandonment, which is so essential for us to understand the deeper workings of our soul and the deeper understanding of life. Because unless you and I overcome rejection and abandonment, we will never be fully grounded in our true identity in Christ Jesus. Today, I'd like for us to explore the passage in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. I love this passage here because I often find myself to ground myself back into this because this speaks truly a lot about my identity. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it reads, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him because of the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, with all wisdom and understanding." Before we jump into the verse in this text, we need to begin to set up this passage, help us better understand this understanding of rejection. Because in each and every single one of us, there are core longings of our being, that we were created by God with a longing. And I believe that there are three fundamental longings of every human being. There's the fundamental longing of feeling significance, or worth. There's a fundamental longing for all of us to feel security or feel safe. There's a fundamental longing for all of us to feel acceptance. When God created Adam and Eve, God created Adam and Eve with these longings. And these longings can only be fulfilled by God. Because when God created Adam and Eve, he had security, he had significance, and he had acceptance. But somehow, when the enemy, Satan, came into the picture, he brought this distortion. Because when Adam and Eve had these longings, God fulfilled them. Because Adam and Eve walked with God through the garden. They had this relationship together. And then the fall came. Now, most of us will say, well, you know, Adam and Eve sinned and ate from the fruit they shouldn't have, and therefore that's why God pushed them out. But I want to kind of process the fall a little bit more deeper. In the fall, what Satan's temptation to Adam and Eve was trying to tell them that God was not enough. That God was not enough to fulfill your longing for significance. That God was not enough for your longing for security. That God was not enough for your longing for acceptance. He says, if you eat from this tree, you will be enough. You will be like God, complete. This is the temptation that Adam and Eve face. And because they ate from the fruit in which they should not have, they made a declaration that God was not enough for them. And when they made that declaration that God was not enough for them, they began to taste the sting of rejection. Because they felt that God had rejected them, because then God was not enough. There had to be something more. Not only that, but God did reject them, because God cast them out of the garden. And so, the sting of rejection, this message of rejection, is really the weapon of Satan. And throughout the fall, we begin to see that humanity now has this longing, what I call soul hungers, that our soul hungers for worth, for security, for acceptance. We have this longing and hunger. And because we no longer have a relationship with God, we find everything and anything to try to satisfy these hungers. We try to find meaning and value in all different things except God. Because those are the void in which only God can fulfill. Only that God can fill. Because in Christ, we find what? Our worth. In Christ, we find our sense of security. In Christ, we find our sense of acceptance. Only God can fill those things, and Satan deceived humanity in believing that God was not enough. Imagine if you have this gaping hole and you feel that nothing can satisfy you, then it's very scary. That every single person born after Adam and Eve had now this gaping hole in their soul that only God can fulfill. And yet, we do not turn to God. We turn to every single thing. It's interesting about human relationships, too, as well. That is, through our human relationships, especially in the nuclear family, in our close family system, that we're supposed to find some level of our significance, some level of our security, and some level of our acceptance. But we live in a fallen world, and therefore, these experiences are often distorted and broken and fragmented. And therefore, there's always this longing in our soul. When we understand rejection, when we look at rejection by itself, simply says that we feel invisible. We feel unwanted. We feel unloved. Because that's what rejection means. Rejection basically means, says this, is that I'm supposed to be a part of this community group. But this community group doesn't want me. It's pushing me away. Now, most of us can say that we probably have experienced this in our family dynamics. Because in our family dynamics, we're supposed to find safety. Now, if you grew up in a family that did not really understand the emotional aspects of the longing that a child needs, will most likely have experienced rejection. Rejection is a very painful experience. Now, when it comes to rejection, I believe that there are two types of rejection. There's what I call the surface level rejection, and surface level rejections are like rejection, because we face surface level rejections quite often, don't you think? Yes, we do. But they roll off us, right? We're like, it's okay. You don't want to hang out with me today? Too bad. All right, I got better things to do. Right? It just rolls off us. We're fine. We're cool. You don't want me to work for you? It's better. Fine. I don't want to work for you coming here anyway. Right? You don't want me to go to your school? You were my first choice anyway. Right? It rolls off us just like this. Like, it's okay. Right? It doesn't bother us. But there is another type of rejection that does bother us. And those are the rejections that triggers the core of our soul. Those are the things that lingers. Those are the things that sends these pain to our brain, and our brain processes as physical pain as well. Those type of rejection rocks the very foundation of our identity. Those pain that triggers the soul, those are the things that causes this disruption of our identity. These are the things that you and I, when we are triggered by this, it causes us to operate and do things that cause us to scratch our head. Because when we begin to trigger, or when we're triggered by these deep emotional pain from rejection, do you know what we do? The first thing is we get angry, right? Because most of us don't have a vocabulary when it comes to emotion, especially emotions that are soul level. We don't have a vocabulary. We're hurt, so what do? We just start yelling, screaming, and people are looking at us like, you okay? What's wrong? I only moved the water over here. Why does that bother you so much? We get this disproportionate anger. I just want to say, men, you and I are a little bit more guilty with disproportionate anger. Just saying. You know why? Because we're just a little bit less emotionally attuned than our female counterpart. So we don't even have a clue what we're feeling. All we feel is we're just angry. Or we just push it down. We don't talk about it. We just ignore it. We'll give people the silent treatment. Yes. You guys faced the silent treatment before? Yeah. That's because something's wrong underneath. Something's been triggered. And then, if that's not enough, we all have our, I just want to feel a little bit better mode, right? When we feel, quote, unquote, bad and triggered, we all have our, you know, what psychologists call coping mechanisms. We have coping mechanisms. When we feel the sting of rejection, okay, I feel really bad. All right, I'm going to drop $5,000 on a handbag because I just want to feel a little bit better. Right? You may laugh at me. Some of you do. Don't laugh. Right? Maybe not $5,000 on a handbag, but something else. Right? Right? When you feel this trigger of pain, oh, let me just make myself feel better. Let me, you know, for some of us, it's spending a little money, getting something a little bit to feel yourself better. For some of us, it's just stuffing food down our stomach. Oh, yeah, when you feel bad and you had a long day and you're stressed out, you open the fridge and sometimes that chocolate ice cream looks very good to you, doesn't it? Right? There's a reason. It's not because you're hungry, because you're full. But just that ice cream is telling you that it'll start making you feel just a little bit better. Well, how about this? Why do people struggle with drug addictions and alcohol? Why? Because when they're triggered, this is their form of escape. Maybe that's something that you guys don't do because, you know, you're all in churches. But what about the video games that you play? The countless hours you spend on it? What about the things that you feel that you need to perform? The countless hours you spend pursuing your academics? What about this? What about looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at on the internet? Now we're talking, aren't we? We have coping mechanisms because we feel pain. We don't know what it is. We don't know what to do with it. And so we run. We run, we numb. That's what we do. And so when you and I begin to feel rejection that triggers us on the soul level, you're going to realize that we all have these different ways to deal with it. And often, they're not very good and not very healthy. But these are patterns that tells us that there's something else that's happening underneath the soul. And for those of us who struggle with rejection, the struggle for rejection is really a longing to be seen, to be wanted, to be included. It is a longing to be simply loved. Isn't that a longing for each one of us? But I'd like to suggest to you, the reason why you and I have the soul level struggle with acceptance and rejection or the fear of abandonment is, it's because it all starts in childhood. Yeah, no, it does. You know, neuroscience have come a long way, and it tells us that our mind, our brain, our logical ability to rationalize is not fully developed until we're 25 and older. Maybe guys a little bit longer than girls. Girls, you know, a little more smart than me. Sorry, guys. Just telling you the truth. Right? 25 years old. So you're only when you're 25 years old does your brain have the logical ability to discern right and wrong. That your brain has the logical ability to see the picture just a little bit more clear. Right? That your brain now has a say over your emotions. Because when did you know that as a child you're all emotions? There's no logical ability. It's like telling my son, listen, you can go to the bathroom by yourself. I'm right here. No, Daddy, I'm gonna feel alone. Make sense to them because logically, I'm right in the next room, okay? I don't have to be physically hovering over you while you're, you know, standing in front of the toilet. But emotionally, that's all they understand. They don't have the logical ability to understand that. Have you ever wondered why children are often afraid to be alone by themselves? Have you ever wondered why children have what we adults call meltdown? Because their emotions are overloaded and they have no idea what is happening, what is going on. And so it's just an explosion and a release of emotion because they don't know what, all they know is they feel something and we tell them to stop. And so as a child, when you face emotions, and when you're being rejected, that you're not accepted, you're not seen, you're not loved, as a child, you feel this emotional pain that you're unwanted. You're invisible. You're unseen. You're not loved. If you grew up in an Asian family, It's very easy for you to feel that way. Because in Asian families, first and foremost, we have a more preference for men over women. The expectations that we put on a woman is different than what we put on a man. We cater to the son. And the daughter is just either a maidservant or mommy number two for the brothers. Or even how we perceive achievement. In Asian community, we don't praise because that will cause you to be prideful. We just tell you how bad you are. But when you do something good, nobody sees you. What do you think a child says? Oh, yeah, my mommy and daddy, they just don't know any better. Yeah, I understand. No, what a child says is what they feel. Mommy and daddy don't want me. I'm invisible to them. They can't see me. And there's something also about our Chinese culture. I think our Chinese culture has been in survival mode for almost like 50 years or longer. Why do I say that? Starting from World War II, the Cultural Revolution, until I would say probably in the last 10, 15 years, the Chinese community has always been in survival mode. Yes. Think about it. If you were a byproduct of the 60s, 70s, this Cultural Revolution, right? All the educated people, they're either persecuted or they got to flee for their life. Right? We're in the survival mode. And when you're in survival mode, there's only two things that we believe that are important, right? Food and shelter. We believe these two are the most fundamental things that anybody needs. But we realize that the most fundamental needs of any human being is food, shelter, and love. And when you're in survival mode, the emotion part doesn't matter. As long as there's food and shelter above you, then it's fine. And so we live in an Asian community in which has been in survival mode for so long. And if you immigrated to this country, you will understand the survival mode struggle is to make it. So there's no awareness of what's underneath the surface. But we have all these different addictions. We have all these different coping mechanisms that is pointing to us that there's something fundamentally wrong with what is underneath our soul. And this fundamentally thing that is wrong with underneath of our soul, it drives us to sin. It drives us to doubt our identity in Christ Jesus. It affects every social relationship that you and I have. So how do you know if you struggle with rejection? Here's a simple question. Do you have struggles with boundaries? Do you need to please people? Do you struggle with confronting someone? Do you struggle with conflicts? Do you struggle when you're left out? The answer is yes, something else going on the surface here. So what do you and I do? This passage this morning that we read, this is what God tells us in how you and I can begin to address this foundational hunger and longing for acceptance. If we read this passage, you're going to notice something here. There are a couple of action words that God does. Let me point them out to you. Right? Here's an action word. Blessed us. Right? That's an action word. Right? To bless means to impart something to you, to give you something. That's an action word, isn't it? Here's another action word. He chose us. Oh my goodness. What a powerful action word for those of us who are longing to be seen and longing to be accepted. He chose us. That he saw us in a group, in a sea of people, and he saw us. And he said, I want you. Action word. Here's another action word. Predestined us. What? Predestined says this. I thought of you even before you existed. I have planned this out for you. For a person who feels rejected and unseen and unloved, to have this thought that someone is thinking of us. It's very powerful, isn't it? How about another action word here? He adopted us. That basically means he took us in. He says, you may have nobody to love you. You may have been alone by yourself, but now you belong to me. You're part of my family. Here's another word. He lavished on us. This word lavish means to pour overwhelmingly. When you feel unwanted, unseen, unloved, you feel that nobody does anything for you. Nobody cares because you're unseen. But look at the action words here. That he lavished on us. That what this tells us is when we struggle for rejection, we feel that nobody sees us, nobody wants us, we're invisible. What this tells us is this, that God pursued us. If you struggle with rejection and somebody's pursuing after you, even if you are struggling for rejection, with rejection, if somebody was pursuing after you, that makes you awfully important, doesn't it? But for those of us who struggle with rejection, and we have this foundational lie that we believe in, that we are invisible, unloved, unwanted, unseen, that God is pursuing after us. What this passage tells us is the truth. That only, first and foremost, God can fill those longings. But second, is that God is the one that's pursuing after us. That this is the truth that you and I need to begin to ground ourselves on. This is the truth in the foundation of our identity. This is the truth in which we need to confront these emotions of rejection that you and I feel and believe about ourselves. This is a foundational truth. But, you know, I mean, let's be honest here. You may know the truth, doesn't mean you actually believe it. Why? Because you know the truth, you have to experience the truth in order for it to become real. Right? I'm just saying. Right? You know, you can nod your head. That's true, right? You have to experience the truth before it becomes a reality. And let me say this. The reason why you and I cannot experience the truth of this reality is because there's stuff that is underneath our soul. We cannot receive the transmission of this truth because the lie is so great and so deep. So what do we do? You know, there's a reason why you and I have memories. Memories are good or they're bad. That's why we remember them. Sometimes those bad memories that we remember, we don't think it's bad because we've been desensitized by it. But those memories have been attached with these emotions. The reason why we cannot receive the truth to the emotion that we feel is because our emotion is still stuck in childhood. And as a child, we're all emotions. We have no logical ability. So the emotion is still stuck in childhood. Therefore, we can't receive the truth because we haven't fully grasped the situation in which we believe in these lies. The words that our parents said to us, the memories that we have, the feelings that we have, the experiences that we have. Because there's always a starting point, and life somehow has its way of amplifying this lie. And so when we get triggered on the soul level, what we're expressing out of our emotion and pain is what we felt here, not up here. But here's the truth. And yet there's a disconnect to our soul level. And that is where we need to have God to begin to shine a light on those situations of our life. Do you have phrases or words, the self-talk? You know, self-talk, it's the voice you hear inside your head. The self-talk, right? The stuff that you say about yourself. What do you say to yourself in your brain? Do you say to yourself, yeah, I'm good, I'm awesome, and I'm successful. What do you say when you're alone by yourself? And there isn't music, all these things that you try to drown out before you go to sleep often, or the first thing that you wake up. What are the voices that you tell yourself? Nobody likes me. They don't want to be with me. I have no friends. Everybody only wants to know me because of what I can do for them. Those voices is actually what you really believe about yourself. And therefore, we respond out of it. When we're triggered, we know the truth, but it's not getting connected to our soul. And this is the work that you and I need to begin to do. We have to connect the truth to our heart. To connect the truth to our heart, you and I need to begin to identify the lie that we believe in. And at the core, if we struggle with rejection, there's a foundational lie that you and I believe in. And that foundational lie often goes back to that there is something wrong with me. But there's freedom in Christ Jesus. This is why Christ died for us. Not so that we can get into heaven, but so that we can truly know, experience our true identity in Christ. That we have been adopted into sonship and daughtership. This is our true identity. That God will lavish all of His love upon us. That God will pursue after us. That is the truth. You and I have a part in this freedom. We need to begin to invite God. We need to invite the Holy Spirit. And to ask this question. Why do I feel unseen, unloved, and unwanted? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. Why do you have these words and sayings that you think and believe about yourself? There is a reason. Yes, some of it is probably done in our childhood, right? Because it is at childhood that these lies grow deep roots. And the reason why they grow deep roots is because you and I at childhood do not have the logical, rational capacity to understand what we are feeling. And that is when Satan takes a hold of what we experience and he begins to manipulate it. And he begins to allow life circumstances to continue to come and to grow this root. But there's freedom for us. It requires for us to do what you and I are so afraid to do. And that is to look inward. It is when we look inward do we begin to see this pile of blockage. And as we begin to confront each one of these piles of blockage, we begin to see the hand of God and the work of the Holy Spirit beginning to sift and remove these things. And then as they begin to address these things, the truth begins to penetrate to the depths of our being. And we begin to be grounded in our identity. Some of you may or may not know that I struggle with rejection. I struggle with self-worth too. And it's been a long battle for me. It finally came into what I call I crashed and burned when I was 46 years old. It took me 40 years to crash and burn. Right? I share with you simply my experience. I am a child of an immigrant. My parents came here with my brother and I when I was 6. My baby sister was 1 year old, and we left her back in China. My parents were about to leave me back in China because I was too young. Somehow I found out and I cried my eyes out. And luckily my granduncle loved me and he's the patriarch of the Chen clan. He said, it's okay to bring him. We'll figure it out. I said, they brought me. First night when we came to America, my mom said this to me. Son, mom and dad are going to be very busy now. We're not going to have time for you. You be a good boy and you take care of yourself. From China, I lived in the village, and you know, when you're in the village, you have the whole village literally to raise you. Right? You have all your aunts and uncles and friends, and you can go wherever you want. There's freedom. And here I was, as a 6-year-old, moving from that community to this isolation in America. My parents didn't walk me to school. I know that's illegal now. Right? My parents didn't help me with my homework. They don't even know. Till this day, my parents have never took me to the playground. I'm still waiting for my father to take me to McDonald's. Right? I didn't know as a child what was happening. All I remember as a child from 6 to 8 was I cried a lot. I suppressed all these emotions. And as an adult, there were words that I heard. And these words were, nobody likes you. People only want to know you because what you can offer them. There's always someone else better. I always felt people judged me based a book by its cover, but they never really wanted to get to know me. I often felt unseen, unwanted, invisible. No matter how much success I had, no matter how much stage time I have, no matter people were praising me, I never felt it because I felt invisible. And finally, and by the way, when I was a church planter, rejection was the norm of every day of my life. Because people often say no to be one part of the church plan. And so here it is. All of my life I've been facing this rejection. And what did I do? I bottled it up. I suppressed it. And not only did I suppress it, but there was only anger that came out. I shut off many of my emotions. Where now, not only that, I distanced people. I kept people out. I wouldn't let people into my life. I kept them at a distance. Yeah, I'll be good at talking about you, but I had a hard time sharing about my own life. And I pushed people away. And when the church plant closed, I crashed and burned. What I mean by crash and burn? I struggled with anxiety most of my life. And I crashed and burned because I had a panic attack. Now, some of you may have felt the little inkling of feeling anxiety, but when you feel anxiety attack to level 10, you cannot sleep. In the last 2 years, the first half of the year, I barely slept. Because I was feeling all these things that were coming up to the surface, and I did not know what it was. I couldn't even identify the emotion that I was feeling. And God had to really force me to crash and burn for me to really begin to explore in the inner working of my soul. Because I felt I dealt with, you know, my worth. I dealt with all the other stuff. I dealt with my father issue. But as I began to explore more and more of my childhood, I realized the issue was I had a mommy issue. My mother rejected me. And I felt unseen as a child. I had no words for this emotion. And as I began to process and go back to these emotions, first I had to grieve, because what else do you do when you feel pain? You're supposed to feel it. Then invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to walk with me through that journey. Now I have vocabulary for what I feel. I can identify when I feel rejected. I can feel it in my body. I can recognize how it feels. And because of that, I can begin to ground myself in the truth. It's a journey. God's not going to magically take away 40 years of a belief system that I believe about myself. I'm going to have to do my part and grounding myself in the truth. And for you and I to begin to experience this deeper life, this freedom to overcoming rejection, some of us, the first thing that we need to do is we need to begin to face the pain that we've experienced. We need to begin to give words to what we have experienced through our life, because especially if it's a child, we have no words. All we have is pictures flashing past by our mind. We need to begin to give words and light to it and begin to see it for what it is. Because this is what I've learned about emotions. The reason why we have emotions is because our perception of that incident is limited. Therefore, it triggers these emotions. And if our perspective on that moment was broadened, our emotions would not have come to that same conclusion. As a child, of course, you don't know that. As an adult, we do. But we have to journey that with God. We have to invite also people to walk with us through this. Because I don't believe that one can really find healing alone. We have to find healing in community. We have to talk about this stuff. We have to have a safe place to open this. Because God will not heal what we do not acknowledge. And we will not acknowledge what we do not know. That's why when we go back, we're unpacking. Begin to have awareness. And as we begin to have awareness, this is what we can invite God into. This is what we can invite the Holy Spirit into. For truth to come in. For healing to take place. If we want to be grounded in our identity in Christ Jesus, if we struggle with the sense of rejection, you and I are going to need to do the hard work of exploring the depths of our soul. Some of us may say, well, I'm too old for this. No, you're never too old for this. That means that there is still an opportunity and a chance for you to experience your true identity as a child of God. For you to experience the fact that God is pursuing after you. To experience the fact that God has always been pursuing after you. That you are not invisible to God, and you are actually not invisible to people. It's just the self-talk that we believe in. There's freedom. God will do his part. Are we going to do our part? If you want to do your part, hold on to your seats. Because this is where we're going as a church. That we are on a journey to reclaim our true identity in Christ Jesus. And as we reclaim our true identity in Jesus, we will be a shining light for this community and this world. Because what you long for is what everyone else longs for as well. Can I invite the worship team to come up? Let's pray. Jesus, we know the truth. That you have been pursuing after us. Maybe, Lord, it's time for us to stop running. To stop running from our pain. To stop running from our fears. Stop running from the lie that we believe in. Let this day be the day in which we begin to stand still. So that you'll be able to catch up to us. And as you catch up to us, may this be the day in which we begin our healing journey. May this be the day in which we begin to reclaim our soul and our identity. Thank you, Lord, for your pursuit of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn His face towards you. Because the Lord sees you. And may you know that He sees you. Know that He's pursuing after you. Know that He loves you. Know that He wants you. Know that He wants to bring you into His arms and tell you that you are His beloved sons and daughters. And this week, as you go forth, may you have the courage to explore what is underneath the soul. And may you invite the Holy Spirit to go with you. And as you begin to have awareness, would you begin to experience the healing that comes with the truth of being a child of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be dismissed.